welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And Trevor, we got a whale of a ball game that we got to talk about from last week. A back and forth affair. Unfortunately, South Carolina had the ball last and they got the 34-30 win last week.
Yeah, it was really a tale of two halves for me. The first half, for a majority of the first half, the defense played really well.
Yep.
And we talked a lot last week about how the defense deserved their flowers. Second half, they really didn't deserve those flowers.
Right.
It was kind of a step back for them. But I really look at early on in that game, first two possessions, they go down and they kick field goals. That's fine, whatever. They're trailing 7-6 at that point. Really, the game changed when Norwood comes away with an interception, sets Missouri up with a short field,
right.
And I think they gain 6-7 yards and settle for a long field goal attempt that Blake Craig ends up missing. That's a chance to take the lead right there that they kind of squander away. And then the other really alarming part is the next possession after that, they get the ball with around 2 minutes left, maybe even a little bit under. It was a little bit less than 2 minutes left, and just very conservative play calling.
Mm-hmm.
And just punt the ball right back to South Carolina with plenty of time and timeouts to go score, and that's exactly what they do.
Right.
And they even score with enough time for Missouri to get another possession afterwards.
Right.
It was only a few plays, but trailing 14-6 in that moment, knowing that South Carolina gets the ball off half.
Right.
I tweeted at halftime that Missouri had a chance to take control of that game early, and now it's looking like they're going to get blown out again.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of the way that went at the end of the first half was not good for me.
Because I think it was one of those things, too, where obviously both teams, I think, came alive a little bit offensively in the second half, and both played better. But you do start to rue those chances when you're just kind of getting field goals when you want to get seven. You know, it starts to rack up. And in a game like that where it did seem like, you know, at the end, either team offense was looking like they could kind of go and score kind of almost when they wanted to, you wish they'd been able to do that a little bit earlier.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the very first possession of the game, I tweeted something in, like, along the lines of, it's very clear the difference in Missouri's offense with Brady Cook on the field.
Right.
We knew that going in, but it was nice to see them function at a high level right off the bat.
Right.
Drinkwitz talked a little bit about this week how he can't snap his wrist because of the injury the way he's used to, and that's why there's a little bit of underthrows mixed in here and there.
Yeah.
And that kind of ended the first drive, but you come out down 15 in the second half and you go touchdown, field goal, touchdown, touchdown.
Right.
That's what we thought this offense was going to be this year. And that was really nice to see. And then it just kind of unfortunate for them. The defense didn't hold up there late.
I think it's worth noting, too, that we ought to just stop trying to figure out who's going to start a quarterback for Mizzou. Because every time we go, kind of feel like we're leaning a direction, it ends up being wrong. So, but that was kind of one of those things where you kind of heard some rumblings like, oh, he might try to give it a go. And it was just, no, not only was he going to give it a go, he was going to play the whole game. So, I mean, that definitely changed, I think, how things looked like they were going to play out, because all of a sudden you go from that being a, you know, 14-point spread for Carolina starting it, then all of a sudden you go, oh, I bet everybody's scrambling now to adjust some picks here at this point.
Yeah, and it was Saturday morning.
Right.
All the injury reports all week had him as doubtful.
Right,
and all signs, and even Drinkwitz in his press conference was talking about how they were planning for Drew Pine to start this game.
Yeah.
You wake up Saturday morning and you start seeing these reports that it's, hey, it sounds like Brady Cook's going to give it a go.
Right.
It kind of goes back to the gaming, the whole injury report thing.
And right.
I don't know how much coaches do that. I would assume a lot.
Right.
So, yeah, for us, we were under the impression that Drew Pine was starting. I think South Carolina was under that impression. I know the Associated Press was under that assumption. So it was kind of an interesting thing, but he looked good.
Yeah.
He's clearly not 100%, but he's good enough to be out there.
Yeah. And it definitely changed the complexion of the game to the point where, you know, I feel like, again, give Drew Pine credit for kind of the game-ending touchdown he got the week before, but I think that came as a surprise. Whereas when Mizzou took that lead with whatever it was, 1:10 left on that pass from Cook to Luther, you go, I kind of almost expected that. That's the kind of thing where I wasn't surprised when I saw it. Because you go, okay, yeah, that's kind of what we expect from a Brady Cook-led team. Problem was, just the old adage, too much time on the clock. And it was.
Too much time for Lenore and Sellers.
Yeah, and you know, that was the thing where you go, okay, it was high of highs to the lowest of lows. Because you just felt like, okay, everything about that then ensuing South Carolina drive just felt like it was kind of almost like, I don't know, there just wasn't enough resistance. They were able to kind of march in just a number of plays, getting big play after big play after big play, and then capped off by the last one that comes with 15 seconds left when, you know, Rocket Sanders takes that little shovel pass. But it was basically a run because he did all the work and he was bouncing off multiple people, and you kind of just got the feeling like, you know, we talked about last week, if Rocket Sanders can affect this game, he's going to, and he did. He just basically willed himself into the end zone, and you get to the point where you're like, ah, crap, we just gave him enough time to be able to do that.
He's a load. Yeah. There's no other way around it. Rocket Sanders is a load to deal with. I want to give the flowers to Brady for that touchdown pass first. Fourth and two, I think, is what it was, and they take a slot fade shot down the sideline. Right. Obviously, Luther has stepped up in that situation time and time again over the last two seasons, but the ball from Brady cannot be overlooked. Yeah. What a perfect pass from him.
Right.
And obviously, great one-handed catch. Luther Burden is a star.
Yeah.
We knew that.
Right.
Switching into the defense. So a lot of the hate came for kind of the soft coverage that they played in that situation. And they were playing 10 yards off the receivers and kind of just letting them get underneath stuff. And so
I don't mind if you do that so much as if you maybe bring somebody on a blitz. Let everyone else play soft, but bring somebody so you're at least making the look varied or making somebody have to contend with, we got to be aware of this and you got to hope they block it. It was just like, oh, we're going to rush three, maybe four, and everybody else going to drop back soft. Well, of course they're going to march down against that. That's too easy.
So, yeah, I personally, if you're going to go down, I like to go down swinging.
Sure.
I would like to be aggressive in that situation if I'm calling the plays for the defense. I do, a little part of me understands what they were going for. The Missouri defense last week allowed 4 30-plus yard completions.
Right.
So you didn't want to put the secondary in the situation where they're one-on-one down the field. And Nick Harbor, a guy we didn't talk much about, very raw, young receiver for South Carolina, but he's a track star at about 6'5". Right. That's a very difficult guy to guard one-on-one down the field, and he only caught two passes, but I think it was for 67 yards. So he burned him a couple times, and I already mentioned that they did not do a good job of limiting chunk gains in that through the air in that game. So I kind of get being a little bit conservative, but with the season on the line, to go down conservative, I don't blame the fan base for being upset with that.
Let's take a quick break for an ad read. At Carpet Values, we offer the guaranteed lowest prices on all your flooring needs. And now, during our fall savings event, you can save even more. We are stocked full of carpet, vinyl plank, tile, laminates, rugs, and more. Don't miss out on these hot fall savings. Come see us at Carpet Values and take advantage of our guaranteed lowest prices. We're your low-price superstore at I-70 and Highway 54 in Kingdom City. So I guess the end result is the Tigers fall to 7-3 overall, 3-3 in the conference now. Basically kind of gets rid of their kind of playoff hopes for the CFP. But let's take a look at those for just a second, because again, I feel like everybody's so invested in these things every week, and you go, ah, this has happened, and this has happened, and this happened. And then I think once they get past a certain point, they just stop caring, because Mizzou's still 23rd. Nothing. That game meant nothing in the grand scheme of things, so you're almost like, why are we even playing some of these? Now, granted, South Carolina did jump a couple spots after that, so you go, okay, they got something out of it, but it's almost just like they were kind of down in that kind of no man's land anyway. They're still down there, and they're still in the same spot. So I guess the good thing is, you know, at this point, yes, the hopes are dashed, because I think there's just too many things to even think about anymore. Like we talked about last week, this was a must-win game. They didn't win it, so now they've got to refocus what they're going to look at this point. So I guess the big thing is you go, okay, you hope that if things play out like they might be able to, you're still looking at a 10-win season. First step of that, though, is you've got to get to 8, which you got to get the regular season, then you got to get to 9 the week after that, and then you got to go get a win in a bowl game. So, the first step, I think, is the easiest step. It's at Mississippi State today, 3:00, 3:15 start, SEC Network. It's, frankly, a Mississippi State team that's kind of scuffling a little bit. 2-8 overall and 0-6 in the SEC. So, The only thing good for them, I guess, is they're coming off a bye week, so I guess they'll be rested for this one.
Yeah, I think Mississippi State is clearly the worst team in the conference this year. I don't think there's really a question. Drinkwitz was quick to point out they played a very difficult conference schedule. You look at road games at Texas, at Georgia, back-to-back weeks. That's two of the best teams in the conference. They had a home game against A&M, at Tennessee in their last time out. So they have played some very difficult conference games. The one outlier is they were somehow able to remain within 10 points at Georgia.
Right.
Very impressive.
Right.
But then you kind of go beyond that. They lose by 10 against A&M the next week. They give up 58 to Arkansas. They beat UMass. Congrats. And then they right. then they lose at Tennessee by 19, scoring only 14 points when the offense is the strong suit of that team.
Right.
So they're in the first year under head coach Jeff Levy, so he's still trying to install a culture and kind of build what he wants that program to look like. But I would assume if you ask him, he probably would have liked this year one to go a little bit better.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned it, it's kind of one of those things where they're already doing that. Okay, we're going to have to look for positives here. You know, I think, you know, some of them are, oh, hey, we only gave up 14 to Tennessee in the second half. Well, who cares? I mean, that might be, they might have taken their foot off the gas. They might have not
game
tried.
Flow.
That thing's weird, you know. So then you're kind of going, okay, well, we only did this or this. I get it. You're a struggling team, so you're trying to grab onto anything and use it as a foothold to maybe, you know, give up things. But I think it's just basically boils down to the fact is that, you know, you're giving up 35 a game this year, and that's too much to whoever you're playing. And that's not, you know, again, yes, they've played a tough schedule, you know, in the SEC, but they've also had, you know, Eastern Kentucky, Toledo, and Arizona State on their schedule. So it's not like you go, yeah, they've been playing a murderer's row throughout. They've been giving up points to pretty much everybody this year. So I think as a Mizzou fan, you got to be looking at this and go, this is a game where we might be able to put up some numbers.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the South Carolina defense, and it you mentioned 34.4 points per game allowed. Last in the conference. Total defense, last. They're allowing 460 yards a game.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That's a lot of yards.
Last in rushing yards. Passing defense, we're didn't write that down. Good for me. they're basically last in every single major defensive category in the conference.
Right.
And you mentioned that Toledo game. They didn't just lose to Toledo. They got 41-17 boat raced against Toledo.
Right.
That's alarming. It was early in the season, and like we mentioned, it's a new coaching staff. They're playing a freshman quarterback, so there was expected to be growing pains, but it's been rough. And for Missouri standards, you look at the way the offense functioned last week against a pretty good South Carolina defense, especially up front, and you look at this week, and it's if that doesn't translate over to this week, you start worrying about the energy and effort kind of thing of not being in that playoff picture trying to wear on them. And that was something that Drinkwitz was really quick to note in the press conference this week, is how this is a very senior-led team, a bunch of upperclassmen. So he's not worried about that, but that's definitely something that I'm watching this week and that most people should be watching, because if this game's close towards the end, you kind of have to question the effort and kind of will to want to keep playing.
Well, I think that is going to be the biggest thing that I will be interested in today, and I think you'll be able to tell early. I think if it doesn't come out and Mizzou's not up two scores, whether that be touchdown on field goal or two touchdowns early, and you know, after the first couple possessions, I'll be kind of stunned, because all things being considered, this team does still have stuff to play. Yes, you've had to readjust your goals, and you're going to, you know, you're kind of hoping to get to a 10-win season. You're hoping to kind of go into bowl season, get as good a bowl as you can, get a win in that bowl game, use that as a springboard. But that's all stuff that after you kind of started this season going, okay, we've got hopes to maybe get in the playoff, that's going to be the true test of what these guys want. Now, again, I feel like if you got a guy like Brady who's been putting his overall health over the team goal, you know, out there to keep the team as successful as it can be, when you've got leadership like that, I think everybody follows along. So
it should trickle down at that point.
Absolutely.
At least you would hope so. And
Brady's
obviously a very big vocal leader for this team. They have quite a few of those older guys that seem to lead by example. Brady is definitely the one person that you look to who's always going to be a great vocal leader. True son, what they like to say. He absolutely bleeds black and gold for Mizzou. Always wanted to play there. I do want to point out that I think it's a good thing for the program that you're looking at a possible 10-win season as a letdown.
Right.
I mean, in my lifetime for Missouri, that's not been a thing. If you win 10 seasons, that's one of the best seasons in recent history for Missouri. So it is kind of a good thing for where Drinkwitz is taking this program, that you look at the expectations headed into the season and the possible outcome that we're looking at and viewing that as a disappointment. That means there should be some pretty good days ahead.
Yeah.
This isn't the final year that Missouri can be competitive in this playoff format. Sure. So I think that deserves to be noted. I mean, you gotta come out and play well in this game now if you want that to be a thing. Because the fan base is a little frustrated at this point.
Yeah.
And I get it.
Sure.
It's been a frustrating year with injuries, and definitely not at the right time to have those injuries.
Right.
But there is stuff still in front of you to play for, and a decent bowl game that the fans can somewhat get excited about is what you have to look forward to.
And I do feel like that this game is probably a victory. Next week is probably a victory. Bowl game, who knows? With bowl games, you just never know what that's going to be. But I do feel like that, I think the most pressing concern is for Mizzou fans is, do we start to see anybody opting out, like a Luther maybe looking at the draft, or maybe someone else looking at, here, this season's done. I think these guys will all stay. Keep playing each week, then bowl game, that's a whole different matter. But I think it's one of those things where this week, the complexion or the ability to do what I think is going to happen, win this week, win next week, gets altered if anybody starts going, well, you know what, I think I'm gonna take some time off, and I'm going to ease back, and we're going to kind of put the cap on this season.
I don't think that's going to be something that we talk about in the next couple weeks. Okay. I do think that will be something of note for bowl season.
Sure.
If you're not playing for a playoff and it's been a trend of years past, the guys that are preparing for the draft are going to go ahead and start that process.
Yeah.
You would expect Luther to fall in that category, maybe a Theo Weiss, probably some defensive guys like Johnny Walker and a few others. So there will... In the ultimate bowl game, there will be some people that probably skip that.
Yeah.
I don't think you would do that in the regular season. Just personally, I think that scouts won't like that.
Right.
That's kind of looked at as quitting on your team.
Yep.
And so I would be very surprised if that happens,
yep.
And that would be kind of alarming, I think. And I think it would hurt their draft stock more than anything.
Absolutely. All right, I guess that gets us to the prediction point. I'll just ask you, how bad does Missouri beat Mississippi State today?
I forgot to look at what I picked in the paper this week. That's always a given. That's always a given. So I'm going to guess what I picked in the paper, and I think it was 34-17 Missouri. I think this should be a pretty handle. They should be able to handle this one.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter @TREVHAHN3. That's Trev Hahn3. Thanks for listening.